A cautious welcome to the new NAFTA trade deal from some of the world's leading car makers. And we'll take you to a London vineyard cultivating grapes and social well-being.
Coming to the vineyard was one of the few things I could do. It was a safe space to come. It was a place where you feel accepted and included.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. First, growing trade tensions have been a big concern for global businesses this year, but with a new North American trade deal agreed in principle, some are breathing a sigh of relief. It's a hot topic for top industry bosses at the Paris Motor Show, which kicks off today. The head of Toyota Motor Europe, Johan von Zyl, told the BBC the deal brings about more certainty.
But I think the one thing is that we really hope for is that this will also lead to the elimination of duties and tariffs which has been implemented. Of course, we believe in open markets, we believe in free trade, and that's how we would like to continue with our trade relationships.
But BMW's chief executive, Harald Kruger, says he still has his eyes on the strained trade relations between the U.S. and China.
Our business model clearly relies on free trade across the globe. And the Spartanburg plant, which is our biggest plant in the world, clearly showed that 70% of the production is being exported and it's creating jobs in South Carolina. It's creating wealth. Yeah? And if this is at risk, this is not good for the business. But we're coping on the other side with flexibility because we have a major plant and operations in the United States, we have major operations in Europe, and we have major operations in China and Asia. And one solution, for example, the new X3 is being built on the one side in Spartanburg for the US market and some other markets in the Americas. We have the X3 in South Africa exporting to Europe, and we have the X3 now for the local production in China for the Chinese market. So if you think about the X3 as one example, with three different manufacturing locations, same story for the X1, for example. We are very flexible to produce the models in the markets.
Harald Kruger there. Let's do the numbers. Italian bonds are seeing fresh selling pressure as concern continues to mount over whether the government wants to spend too much in its latest budget proposals. The yield on the benchmark 10-year note rose to its highest level since 2014. Those worries are also hitting European markets and the euro. Meanwhile, investors are eyeing remarks from Britain's Prime Minister Theresa May. She told the BBC she's listening to concerns from British businesses about the possibility of a no-deal exit from the European Union next March.
We have put forward a plan for our future relationship with the European Union, which ensures not just that we deliver on the vote of the British people, that we bring free movement to an end, as I've said, and recognises the importance of frictionless trade across the border for companies such as those in the car industry, with those just-in-time supply chains.
Prime Minister Theresa May. October has finally arrived, and with it, harvest season. Dry, hot summer weather challenged many farmers across the world this year, but it's been a boon for Britain's growing wine industry. The BBC's Stephen Ryan has been to London's first commercial vineyard since the Middle Ages. It's run by a team of volunteers with a social mission.
The vineyard has been operating in Enfield, North London, since 2010. There's a handful of part-time staff and a team of almost 65 volunteers who tend to the vines, they sell wine at local markets and sit on the board.
My name's Sarah Vaughan Roberts and I'm the founder of 40 Hall Vineyard. We're just really lucky here. We're on a place called 40 Hill, and the hill is a Jurassic gravel deposit, and the soil is very free-draining. As you've seen, our two vineyards are south-facing, they're sloping.
Hi, I'm Rupert. I'm in my early 50s and I've been a vineyard volunteer for just over 4 years.
The vineyard runs an ecotherapy program for its volunteers. It's about having meaningful work and doing it outdoors, supported by the listening ear of the resident ecotherapist. And this is something that helped Rupert through a recent spell of depression.
Coming to the vineyard was one of the few things I could do. It was a safe space to come. It was a place where you feel accepted and included. It will always brighten my day in some respect.
Research undertaken by the University of Essex and the mental health charity Mind has found that 70% of people who worked on an ecotherapy project experienced a significant boost in well-being. And while doctors agree it's a suitable treatment for depression and anxiety, many of them would like to see further evidence of ecotherapy's benefits.
Quite well at the farmer's market on Sunday, we sold 31 bottles of
Spartan. After chatting with the volunteers over tea, it's clear they play a key role in this business. There are only a handful of part-time staff, after all. An ecotherapist, a PR consultant, the man who drives the tractor, a volunteer coordinator, and Sarah, who's ambitious for the future.
I'm hoping that it would be something like 75% funded through wine sales. I think we might always need a bit of grant help around the health work, but running our core costs and running the whole operation, we want to be able to cover that completely.
In the next few weeks, they'll be watching the weather closely at Fortyhaugh Vineyard as they continue to harvest the crop for this year's wine. And come rain or shine, the volunteers will be out on the North London slopes, tending to the vines and also their well-being. In London, I'm the BBC's Stephen Ryan for Marketplace.
And finally, the International Monetary Fund has a new chief economist. Geeta Gopinath is the first female to be appointed to that role there. She's born in India and is a Harvard professor. She's perhaps best known for her work on exchange rates. With this appointment, the IMF joins two other global institutions, the World Bank and the OECD, in having women in top posts. Don't forget, you can listen to our podcast wherever you get yours, iTunes, Stitcher, the World Wide Web, wherever. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.